This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. I would like to say and welcome everybody to the call. I expect maybe a few others will join in as they realize that the call is an hour earlier than typically. Hopefully that'll be the case. For many, that is, not for everyone, but for many, that will be the case. And I'd like to press on and at least create a record of this call for the others to look. Typically, Aubrey and Greg have joined us a moment or two late, so we'll see. But now that we've done that, I want to ask those on the call if anyone has a statement, any change to their statement of interest. And at the same time, I would like to ask people that may be on the phone who are not in Adobe to please speak up and identify themselves. Is there anyone that is on the phone that's not in Adobe? Not hearing any, we can press on. Does anybody have a change in their statement of interest? And the statement of interest was an interesting discussion at the public forum at ICANN 60, so it is important, and we need to remember to pay attention to it. So if there's any change, please note it now. Having none, we can move forward. Before we get to the issues, I would like to welcome, as an observer, Shireen Chalabi, who has been on the ICANN board for some time now and who, at the conclusion of ICANN 60, took on the role as chair of the board. And I would like to congratulate Shireen again. And Shireen, today we have a small group. We typically have a small group, and in a few minutes I'll just do a brief summarized history. But in the meantime, I want to give you a chance to say something if you wish to. You know, certainly don't have to, but if you would like to make a comment, please feel free.
Thank you, David, and thank you, everyone. And David, thank you for letting me observe this call. Completing the work of the new IRP system and establishing the standing panel, I consider it as to be a major accomplishment of our accountability process. So hence my heightened interest, and particularly in three areas. One is the supplemental rules. I understand that the IoT is working through issues that were raised in the public comment on the supplemental rules, and there's perhaps an anticipation for another round of public comments. So I am very curious about the issues, but more importantly, also the time frame of getting those in front of the board would be useful to know to prepare for it. The second area is the standing panel, and particularly the process and the timescale for doing so. And selecting the members of this panel is important. And in particularly from my limited experience, the choice of a lead person on the panel is very critical. So I would like to observe also that that process and the timescales. And finally, the CEP process. My understanding also is the IoT took over the CEP issue from, I think, the WS2, the CCWG WS2 work post Joburg. And I don't know where we are on the timescales for that. So those are the three issues that I would really like to observe: the supplemental rules, the standing panel, and the CEP. Thank you, David.
Shireen, thank you very much. And I would like to comment on that and again say welcome. We're very, very happy that you're here. And then I will open it to the floor if anyone else would like to comment in the meantime. And you are absolutely correct. The IoT, the team itself, is a small team. It was capped at 25 members by the CCWG on Accountability Workstream 1, and we now have 26 members. We took on AnnaLoop as an additional member when we took on the CEP process. And it's a small group, and but it's an active group at times, a mix of legal skills and other skills. And we've been working on supplemental rules. The initial leader of the IoT was Becky Burr, and she's still a member of the team. Becky stepped away from the leadership role of the team when she stepped onto the ICANN board last year, last November, I guess it was. And then I took over as lead of the team. And just as Becky was leaving, we had the first draft of the supplemental rules that are basically supplements to the International Center for Dispute Resolution rules to take account of the uniqueness of ICANN. And despite the name supplemental, the supplemental rules take primacy if there's a conflict between the supplemental rules and the ICDR rules. And so you are correct, they were put out for public comments. Public comment period closed in February of this year. We started working on the rules, and the staff report came out in May, and we spent a lot of time discussing them. We have moved some through to conclusion, and we are basically very near the end. We've discussed the rules at great length, including timing, retroactivity, all these kinds of things. We're very near the end, and so that part of it's very good. So the supplemental rules, I hope, will be done and presented to the board in the January-February timeframe. I'm hoping that we get all of the heavy lifting work done by the end of this year on list and in another call, perhaps in addition to this one. Secondly, with respect to standing panel, Liz Lee is on the call, and she'll be speaking later, I think, about where the preparation is. But the standing panel is something that will be created for this IRP under the bylaws, and it will involve an expression of interest, a document that has been prepared, seeking people to apply for the standing panel. But the ICANN Legal and ICANN Policy are working on preparations to help supporting organizations and advisory committees to nominate members to the standing panel. Under the bylaws, it's the role of the SOs and the ACs to nominate. It's the role of the SOs and the ACs and ICANN to vet the applications that come in and put them in two piles, qualified and non-qualified. But once you have a qualified pile of applications, it's the SO and AC job to nominate from that pile people to the standing panel. And ICANN Legal and Policy are working on ways to help the SOs and ACs get organized in doing that. We in the IOT have offered our assistance in that respect because we're developing some facility with the IRP bylaw. That's moving on, and I think Liz can speak to that a little bit later. And then with respect to the cooperative engagement process, that was a separate subgroup of Workstream 2. And then at Joburg, there was a change, and the CCWG accountability co-chairs asked us, the IOT, if we would take that work on, and we have agreed to do that. And that will probably follow the issuance of the rules. Our first order of business, I believe, as we see it right now, is to get the rules done and then step on to some further work, and I'll speak about that in a little bit. But thank you very much for your interest. That's exciting for us, and that's roughly where we stand right now. Today's meeting is to discuss and hopefully wrap up issues of joinder of parties to an IRP, work on how parties can do discovery and gather evidence, and also work on translation services, all with a view towards recognizing IRP is an arbitration, is meant to be quick, to the point, fair, not prolonged, and not necessarily expensive, at least when compared to litigation. And so I hope that we will have some fruitful discussion on that, and I've invited discussion on the list leading up to this call. So that's roughly where we are. And I will invite others in the group, if they wish to make a comment, to please, you know, indicate by their hand now. And Shireen, you're certainly welcome to comment in light of what I've said as well. Hearing nothing right now, let's move on. Liz, let me ask you if I could move you up on the agenda from number six to right now, before we get into the joinder discussion, in as much as the issue about preparations for getting to the standing panel have been mentioned. Are you able to do that now?
Hey, David, this is Liz. Yes, I'm happy to do that. So just to follow up on your recap, as you know, we circulated the and drafted the call for expression of interest. We also circulated to the group for comment, the process flow that we mapped out in terms of the four-step process that of establishing the standing panel that the bylaws calls for, and we've identified in there certain points where we needed additional input from the community, and we've received some input from the IoT group, and we've also identified that we should get input and need input from the SLNAC leaders. We have been working with ICANN policy team in terms of figuring out what is the best way in which to go about that, and I think the goal leading to do a webinar, as we've discussed with this group here to do, we are, one of the things that we have been working with policy team is to reach out to the SLAC leaders and identify for them what's at issue, and probably what we plan is to get some kind of, get their input in suggesting a planning call. I think that might be the first step that they find to be appropriate, and then following that, a webinar, or if they feel that the webinar and the planning call can be done as one step, that would be the next thing that we identify. So from our standpoint, we are hoping to get that out to the SLNAC leaders this week, and depending on when they feel and identify if the time they're available to do so, we're hoping that we would be able to get this planning call up and going within the next couple of weeks.
Liz, thank you. So, and you, thank you for that. In a moment, I will turn to Aubrey and Becky, who just joined the call, both members of this group, and see if they have any comments. But let me just respond briefly, Liz. Thank you so much for the update. And you've heard me speak about this before. I think the webinar is a great idea. The sooner, the better, and we would be happy to participate. We can find folks. I mean, I certainly would be happy to participate. And having read the bylaw now, I don't know how many times, I'm certainly gaining some knowledge of it. And the other thing I think we need to do is to identify, in conjunction with leaders from the SOSACs, whether they're going to need time face-to-face, because the planning for Puerto Rico, I guess, is maybe even done, I don't know, and the planning for Panama, I guess, will come up soon. So, I mean, it's amazing the lead time that's needed, and I hope that, I hope we could wrap all this up before then, if we need to preserve some time at one of those meetings, it would be nice to identify that fairly early. So I'm looking forward to what you want to send out, and hopefully we can get this moving. Having said all that, I'll turn to Aubrey first. Aubrey, you joined, and Shireen is a welcome observer today. I gave a brief recap of what we've done and where we are, and if you have any comments, you're certainly welcome to make them now.
I'm not even sure I can be heard. Can I be heard?
You're heard, but very, very faintly, Aubrey.
Okay, if sorry, we could, this is the first time I'm using this connectivity, so I wasn't sure I could. I have no comments to add at this point. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Becky, do you have anything that you want to say at this point?
Not at this point. Thank you, David.
Okay, thank you. So, Liz, unless you have anything in light of what I said, then we can move on to the next agenda item.
Nothing from me.
Hearing. Okay, thanks. So let's move on to Joinder. And as I mentioned in the emails, I've had a little bit of a time challenge, so I didn't send out anything more extensive than the emails that I sent out following the last meeting to try and move these issues to closure. We've discussed Joinder quite a bit. And what I'd like to do is just read the language as to where we are now. It'll take maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but I think it's good for the record to go ahead and read this now. And this is where we presently are on Joinder. And if anybody wishes to, to say anything different, I have urged them to do so on lists. You can do it on the call too, but to also give specific language as a suggested alternative. So here's where we are on Joinder. One, that only those persons, entities who participated in the underlying proceeding as a party receive notice from a claimant in IRPs under bylaw section 4.3B3A3. of the full notice of IRP and request for IRP, including copies of all related filed documents contemporaneously with the claimant serving those documents on ICANN. Two, that subject to the following sentence, all such parties shall have a right to intervene in the IRP. Notwithstanding the foregoing, a person or entity seeking to intervene in an IRP can only be granted party status if, one, that person or entity demonstrates that it meets the standing requirement to be a claimant under the IRP at Section 4.3B of the ICANN bylaws and as defined within the supplemental procedures, or, two, that person or entity demonstrates that it has a material interest at stake directly relating to the injury or harm that is claimed by the claimant to have been directly and causally connected to the alleged violation at issue in the dispute. The timing and other aspects of intervention shall be managed pursuant to the applicable rules of arbitration of the ICDR, except as otherwise indicated here. Subject to the preceding provisions in this paragraph, the manner in which this limited intervention right shall be exercised shall be up to the procedures officer, who may allow such intervention through granting IRP party status or by allowing such parties to file amicus briefs, as a procedures officer determines in his or her discretion. An intervening party shall be subject to applicable costs, fees, expenses, and deposits provisions of the IRP as determined by the ICDR. An amicus may be subject to the applicable costs, fees, expenses, and deposits provisions of the IRP as deemed reasonable by the procedures officer. Three, no interim relief that would materially affect an interest of any such amicus to an IRP can be made without allowing such amicus an opportunity to be heard on the requested relief in a manner as determined by the procedures officer. And four, in handling all matters of intervention and without limitation to other obligations under the bylaws, the procedures officer shall adhere to the provisions of bylaw section 4.3S to the extent possible while maintaining fundamental fairness. That concludes the reading of the suggested language. Just as background, Caboose, I believe that this addresses some of the concern you had last time, and the notion of fundamental fairness is something that is stated in the bylaws, where it says that the rules of procedures are intended to ensure fundamental fairness and due process and shall at a minimum address certain elements. So that's what we are. And the floor is now open for people to speak to this. Otherwise, we will consider this having reached second reading conclusion. Liz, you have a comment. You have the floor.
Thanks, David. One question that ICANN Org has is with respect to the second clause in paragraph 2, where at the end of that it states that it's claimed by the claimant to have been directly and causally connected to the alleged violation at issue in the dispute. We're not clear what you intended for that clause to mean.
Thanks, Liz. I'm looking for it. Where is it again?
So paragraph 2.
Okay.
And then,
it's in number 2.
Right.
So let me just read that out loud. That person or entity demonstrates that it has a material interest at stake directly relating to the injury or harm that's claimed by the claimant to have been directly and causally connected to the alleged violation at issue in the dispute. I actually think this may have come from somebody else, but it seems to me that what's involved here is that this has to be directly tied to the dispute. It can't be tangential. There may be better language to state that. And if you have a concern with that language, I would urge you to maybe give me something else. But it's basically, you know, this has to be directly stemming or directly tied to the dispute in question.
Okay, I understand that. I think what we would propose to change that to is that a person or entity demonstrates that it has a material interest at stake directly relating to the injury or harm that is claimed by the claimant that has resulted from the alleged violation.
Okay, so if that's what you want, then I wouldn't sense any objection to that on my part. If there's anyone else, they'll have to raise their hand and make a statement about it, but I think that would be fine. And I would ask you to send that to me in the email. And send it to the list, yeah.
Absolutely, happy to do so.
Okay, any other questions about Joinder or any concern with what Liz just proposed? Since that involves a bit of a change, what we will do is I'll get the language from Liz. We will incorporate the language, and before we get this to second reading, we'll have to leave it on the list for several days to give people who are not in the call a chance to respond. So, absent any requests to speak, we'll move on to the issue of discovery. And, of course, I've lost my place. Okay, we'll move. Liz, your hand is still up. Is that old or new?
Sorry, that's old. I'll take it down.
Okay. So we are at the next agenda item, which has to do with discovery. And at the conclusion of the last meeting, Liz and I had gone through some suggested variances with respect to the paragraph entitled written statements. And so I'd like to read now where that is based on Liz's changes and go through the same procedure. If anyone has a concern, please then note it when I finish reading. And otherwise, we'll move this one to successful conclusion of second reading. So the paragraph on written statements now reads as follows. The initial written submissions of the parties shall not exceed 25 pages each in argument, double-spaced and in 12-point font. All necessary and available evidence in support of the claimant's claim should be part of the initial written submission. Evidence will not be included when calculating the page limit. The parties may submit expert evidence in writing, and there shall be one right of reply to that expert evidence. The IRP panel may request additional written submissions from the party seeking review, the board, the supporting organizations, or from other parties. In addition, the IRP panel may request for additional the IRP panel may grant a request for additional written submissions from the party seeking review, the board, or from other persons or entities that meet the standing requirement to be a claimant under the IRP at Section 4.3B of the ICANN bylaws, and as defined within the supplemental procedures, upon the showing of a compelling basis for such request. In the event the IRP panel grants a request for additional written submissions, any such additional written submission shall not exceed 15 pages. That concludes the reading. So I open the floor to comments, concerns. Otherwise, we will move this one to second reading. Thank you, Brenda, for putting that up. It looks better in color than my reading did for it. So, Bernie, your hand's up. Sorry, missed it. What do you – if you have the floor.
Thank you. I wrote it in the chat, but if everyone could state their name before they start speaking, we're not capturing that right now. It's not our usual captioning team. And it's just going to make it difficult to use the captioner if we don't do that. So please, everyone, if you can state your name before you start speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. So we can move on then to the next issue, which is about the next supplementary procedure that we were addressing was translation and interpretation. And in this email that I sent out, it was a summary of the discussions that we had rather than putting something into words. And so the gist of this is that we're going to ask Sidley, and we do still have budget with Sidley, to sort of polish off the rules when we're done with them, to basically capture what we have in this email. And the principal elements of the email are that a claimant would get translation interpretation services based on need, not on preference. We did have some public comments that asked that these services be provided if they were simply requested by the claimant. And we agreed, and of course we have to, really, the bylaws say it's a matter of need. I can't remember the specific paragraph, but the bylaws say these services are available if needed. And so we've stick with this element, this concept of need, not preference. And we go so far as to say, and that includes if someone is bilingual and has a couple of language skills, if one of those language skills is English, then there would be no need for translation. If one of those language skills is one of the ICANN six languages of Arabic, Chinese, English, French, Russian, or Spanish, and their other language is something a little bit more esoteric, then the translation can be done in one of the ICANN provided languages. This is principally, then Caboose, you brought up an issue with respect to other documents that are requested to be translated, other documents than the complaint or the response to the complaint. And there we're basically putting those cost materiality balancing issues in the hands of the panel. And so I would like to open the floor to anyone to say if they have any concern with what we're doing on language and translation, and want to offer any other suggestion. The one thing I forgot to mention is that if a claimant is more than an individual, let's say it's a corporation where there are directors and officers, then the language skill would be met by a director or an officer. In other words, as long as the claimant has some facility in English or one of the ICANN six languages, then that's going to be determinative. So I open the floor if anyone has a comment. And if anyone doesn't, we will move this to closure for the reading, and we're driving to an early conclusion for this call. The other thing I wanted to handle today was getting towards how to wrap up the supplemental rules. We've already had the update on AC and SO preparation for nominations to the standing panel, so we've moved to agenda item 7. And as you heard me in the discussion with Shireen at the outset say, it is my hope that supplemental rules will be done and dusted and through Sidley and into the hands of the board by the January-February timeframe. And in order for that to happen, we need to get through them, I hope, by the end of this calendar year. Brenda, can I ask that you put up the sign-up sheet on the screen if you can? And so what that means is even though the sign-up sheet on these rules appears somewhat blank, it may be hard to read there, the four issues below the second yellow line in the left-hand column are things we will do after the supplemental rules. The items above that are the supplemental rules. Despite the fact that it appears a little bit blank, we're actually making great progress, and I think we can finish these rules by the end of the year. And to do that, I think, would take one more teleconference at least and a lot of work on the list, and I'm happy to tee things up on the list the way we've been moving along. And many of the rules we've had substantive discussions, basically all of them we've had substantive discussions along the way, so I think we're near the end. And so I would encourage all of us, and I'll encourage the people on the list, so to be sure and throw in comments towards the end of the year so that we can wrap these up. I imagine when we give it off to Sidley, it's going to take them a couple of weeks, and I need to get in touch with Holly just to make sure she understands that this will be coming. So all of that being said, we would then turn our attention to the additional items. And Shireen was asking me a little bit about CEP at the outset of the call. So, Shireen, what the plan would be is we would then turn to the cooperative engagement process and come up with any rules that we think are germane for that. And we would also turn to things that were that the bylaws ask us to do, such as to consider whether there are additional requirements needed for conflict of interest rules for panelists. The bylaws at 4.3Q set out conflict of interest standard, but give us the role of saying, you know, take a look and see if you think more are needed. We also have to come up with rules for appeal and with rules for claims by customers of the IANA services contract. Those things we think are secondary right now to getting these rules done because they follow sequentially in time anyway. So that's the plan, folks, and you'll see some more from me on the list to tee these up and move them along, and we will have to schedule a meeting between here and the end of the year. We don't have anything scheduled. Bernie is reminding me. We should try and schedule some tentatively at least right now. So I may put Bernie on the spot in a minute and ask him if he could suggest maybe something in the first week of December that would be good for us. We're usually Thursday afternoon, 1900 UTC. Bernie, can I turn it over to you and ask you to comment in this whole area?
Sure, David. We're as it happens, December is wide open, so you get your pick. If Thursday, December 7th, 900 is your choice, then that is open and more than willing to book it now.
Bernie,
I also have Thursday, December 7th.
Okay.
And I also have the last day in November is 30th. I also have that if you prefer.
So I personally think maybe we should schedule a meeting for Thursday, December 7th, but is there anyone on the call that has other thoughts about this? I think if it goes past the 7th, it's a little bit too late. And if it's on the 30th, it might be too soon. I need to get some things out on the list. Does anybody have any objection to setting a meeting for Thursday, December 7th at 1900? Let's do that, Bernie.
All right. Should we, given things get very quiet towards the end of December, should we try and book something for January right now, at least one meeting? Maybe on Thursday the 8th or Thursday the 18th?
What was the first Thursday you mentioned?
They're all open. So we have January 11th, January 18th, and January 25th.
Okay, let's set one for January 11th tentatively. Hopefully we won't need it, but let's have it. Better to have and not need than to need and not have.
Yes, correct. Thank you very much. Noted. Invitations will be sent.
Thank you. So we are to any other business. If anyone has any comment, I would welcome them now. Seeing and hearing none, I will thank everybody for participating. It's a tough time to get on the phone calls around the holidays. Hopefully December 7th we will be able to get our group together. And look for some emails from me on the list. We're going to move these rules to conclusion. We've had great discussions about them. I'm happy about getting near the end of this process so that we can move on to other great things. There is a hand. Aubrey, you have a hand up, so please go ahead and take the floor.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully I can be heard slightly better now. Please let me know. This is Aubrey's.
It is. It's
yeah,
better.
The one thing that I haven't finished, the one thing that we didn't get on the agenda today, is the subject of the ongoing monitoring. So I just didn't want to let the call slip away without having fessed up for not having gotten much further on it and not having developed the document further. Did have a lot of discussions with people about at the ICANN meeting about whether to continue sort of on the separate review that we've been having, or to sort of accept the notion that you had accepted that a small change to the bylaw, basically saying that the ATRT shall review the, as opposed to may review the procedures, would be an adequate response. And I guess the desire to not have a complicated solution has been pushing me that way. The only problem I still have with that and wanted to put on the table, and the one that's been sort of working in the back of my mind, is that leaves out the whole notion of including the panelists in that review. Now, one could assume that the ATRT would indeed review them, but there'd be nothing explicit saying that they would have to be included. So going back, the simple solution is just a simple bylaws change. The changes may review to shall review in the appropriate bylaw. And I don't have the document with me. I'm traveling with less machinery and don't have my laptop with me and the full copy in front of me. But basically that could be the one change that was needed, because we did want to make sure that there would be a review. And any other solution that I had been working towards gets more complicated, and I'm not sure it's worth the complication. But I just didn't let this one meeting want to end without having put that back on the table. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. And as you said, you and I have been discussing this in the meetings. I mean, within our teleconferences, it's you and I that have sort of been batting this one around, and I am of the view that, and just to mention for Shireen, the current bylaw does, as Aubrey suggests, put under the ATRT reviews, the IRP, but the lead-in language to that is it may be reviewed. And one of the public comments, I believe it was from ALAC, to our rules was there should be periodic reviews of IRP, and I believe we all agree with that. And I came to the view that, like Aubrey stated, that it could be under ATRT if it says shall, but I also was one that believed that we should include at least the lead arbitrator or lead panelist, if that's the term, in the review. So we will work more on that one. I agree with you, Aubrey. We will work more on that one. And if it is something that involves a bylaw change, it would be a recommendation to the board that a bylaw change along these lines would be required. It struck many in the group that the IRP shouldn't be simply unleashed without a way for the community to review its performance every 5 years or so. So more to do. And Aubrey, on that one, that issue, while it came up in public comments to the draft rules, it really doesn't affect the rules. And so we can finish the rules before we finish ongoing monitoring, because that's sort of separate. Now, your hand is still up. Is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand. Is there anyone else that has a comment regarding what we've discussed or anything else on the list? If not, I want to thank Shireen very much for attending. It's certainly very welcome attendance. We're glad you were here, and you're welcome back anytime. And I'm going to close the meeting, seeing no hands. I want to thank everybody for participating, and enjoy the rest of your day. We were able to wrap up early, and thank you. We can stop the recording.
Bye-bye, everybody.